Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian Episode 5, Charlie Bucket's Dad. I'm Daniel Messer. You know what's funny? And to invoke the movie Sling Blade, I don't mean funny haha, I mean funny queer. Everyone knows that change is the only constant, and yet we struggle so hard against it. For 17 years, I worked public library circulation. There are few departments within the library that have experienced more change over the years than your average circ department. Thinking back, I volunteered at the school library as a kid, and I remember writing names on cards and filing cards away, and that was checkout. I remember text-based integrated library systems where the latest new tech was, oh my god, barcodes. You didn't scan them in with a handheld scanner, though, no, none of that. You used this laser pen-looking thing and swiped it back and forth across the code over and over again until it finally read it. Sometimes it got it on the first pass, sometimes it never got it at all, and you had to type it in by hand. The scanners came later. We went from laser pens to scanners to checking things in and out with radio waves and RFID. Then there was the coming of the self-checkout machine. Oh my god, you would have thought the circ staff experienced a biblical tribulation. There was the rending of garments, and there was the gnashing of teeth. Threats were made, retirements were moved up, positions were resigned. No one wanted to be replaced by that machine. The funny thing, though, I worked with those machines for close to a decade, and I never let anyone go or knew anybody to be let go because of one. Then things really hit the fan again when the self-check-in machines showed up. Once again, no one I know lost their job because of it. Maybe someone did, but I haven't heard of it. Over the years of dealing with changing technology, new technology, obsolete technology that won't go away, I discovered a philosophy that certainly isn't new, but I think I gave it a novel name, literally. I call it the Charlie Bucket's Dad philosophy of technology. And with it, you can rule your department no matter what the tech is. So I don't remember if this happened in the book, but at least in the Tim Burton movie version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie's dad got laid off from his job twisting the lids onto toothpaste tubes because the factory bought a machine that did the same thing. I don't remember that happening in the book, but I gotta admit, it's been a long time since I last read it. Anyway, in the end, Charlie's dad gets rehired by the factory because he knows how to fix that machine. In other words, technology made his job redundant, so he pivoted around it and became valuable once again. If there's a metaphor for how I deal with technology at work, it's Charlie Bucket's dad. When the library I worked for, you know, back in the day, ditched their outdated and poorly functioning ILS, it was a sea change. We went from dumb terminals and green screens to Microsoft Windows. I already knew my fair share about Windows, but this new ILS thing was, well, totally new. We got in on the first version of it, and we acted as the beta tester. I was one of perhaps five people on staff who were totally unafraid to poke at the ILS and see what poked back. If I do this, what happens? If I do that, what happens? Are there user manuals? Great, can I see them? Within a year, I knew more about the ILS than almost everybody at the branch, and soon more than anyone in the system. Then the self-checkout machine showed up a few years later. With this new ILS, a self-service machine was actually possible. The old one was absolutely incapable of hooking up external devices like this. As I said, people were scared. I remember at least one person moving up their retirement because they thought they saw the beginning of the end. Me, I was a young man then, and I stuck around. My friend, a great guy named David, was in charge of the IT department, and he was kind enough to provide user manuals, documentation, and answers to my question. Why does this work like that? Isn't this a bit, well, broken? Is there a workaround? Guess what? In less than a year, I knew two sets of things. One, I knew how to fix almost every common problem that self-checkout unit threw at you. Didn't matter what it was, could be a printer problem, could be bad cabling, it could be the monitor got unplugged, didn't matter, I knew how to fix it. And two, I knew that with all of those problems and some others that I did not name, this self-checkout unit was going to make a great boat anchor someday. When I told people not to worry about the thing, that it wasn't going to last, I was right. In a couple of years, they took it out because it was so unreliable. However, I also told my staff that this was a first version of what would undoubtedly be all new kinds of machines. There would be better ones later on. Throughout my career, I've made it a point that when a new toy, tool, piece of tech, bit of software, database, kit, widget, anything shows up in my department and there's a mandate to use it, I become the local expert on that thing. When I left that job years ago and came down here to Arizona, I met with my boss on my first day. That's kind of expected. You're new on the job. Let's, you know, get to know each other and kind of figure out what you're going to be doing as part of your job. And one of the first things she dropped on me was, yes, we have self-checkout units, much like what you had back home, but we're getting this new thing, a self-check-in unit. And I hadn't seen one. I didn't even know these things existed. I knew it was something that was being worked on, but I did not know it was something that a library could actually buy. So I asked some questions and talked to the people in IT, just, you know, gave them a call and said, hey, I'm the new circulation supervisor here, and I understand we're getting one of these machines. Do you have any literature on it? Do you have, you know, the standard company PDFs? Do you have the brochures? Did they send a user's manual? Can I have a picture? I don't even know what this thing looks like. And soon enough, I had some information. I had pictures and documents and manuals, and I read them. And apparently that put me ahead of several people, not just at the branch, but within all levels of the organization. The self-check-in unit was, and still is there, it's a 3M unit with a 5-bin sorter. And that was the other thing, it has a sorter on it. Not only does it check items in for you, but it sorts them into bins. And that's something totally foreign to me when I got on the job. I hadn't seen one, I hadn't worked with one, but rather, you know, sitting in my office, being afraid, rubbing my hands together and wondering what I was going to do, I didn't wonder, I just did something. I educated myself on what this thing was. Now, I'm probably going to give away a certain lack of musical taste here by popular consensus, but I'm going to go ahead and just confess that I really like the music of Yanni, and I got into him in high school. Always, you know, since I heard my first Yanni song, I knew that this was a guy who knew what he was doing with a set of synthesizers and keyboards and computers and could put together some really beautiful music that I liked listening to. Okay, so why bring him up? Who cares about Yanni unless you're me and maybe a few of his fans? Well, it turns out that I read this article about the man, and he wasn't always a professional musician. As a matter of fact, he used to be a swimmer and was sort of in line to go to the Olympics. But it didn't work out Olympic training is hard, things can happen. And he'd always had an interest in music, but no real formal training at the time. As things go, he took an interest in synthesizers and digital keyboards and things like that because there was so much you could do with them. And I have to agree, I'm a keyboardist myself. I've played piano since I was 5. And one of the reasons I feel lucky that I learned piano was because I can play keyboard now. And even though I can't play guitar, I can certainly get a really good guitar sound out of a digital keyboard and horns and trumpets and cellos and all of that. Basically, I can play anything simply because I play a keyboard. However, Yanni did something that was kind of different than what a lot of people do. And it kind of falls in line with what I've been talking about here. When he started getting into the whole music idea and fiddling with these keyboards, he simply read the instructions. I know it sounds weird and it sounds like one of those punchline things, oh ho, a guy read the instructions, but it's not a punchline. And by the time he was done reading the instructions, he knew what the keyboard could do. He had things he could try. He basically had taken in concepts that he could apply later on and make some interesting things. And this is exactly my approach to technology and new technology in my workplace. Things are going to change. You're always going to get something new. And to kind of keep up with the self-check-in thing, after about a year or two working on the job where we got the new self-check-in unit, we get a call from up north, an admin, and they tell us, hey, you're going to be getting another self-check-in unit. I was like, well, great, I already know how this one works. No. This is a different one. Works kind of the same, but a lot of it is very different. And oh yes, this has 9 bins to sort into. I'm like, wow, 9? I don't know what I will do with that number of bins. So how is it different? What do you have? Do you have a picture of this? Tell me about the company that makes it. Do we have any instruction manuals? What's available online? I just go right back into my sort of mode of learning everything I can about the machine. I don't need to become a technician. I don't feel like I'm going for some kind of certification on fixing the machine, but I want to know everything about it that I can, because in the end, that's going to make my life easier and it's going to make life and work easier for the people around me. So the new machine we got in wasn't from 3M. It was from a company called FKI, who I believe is based out of Aarhus in Denmark. And the machine is quite amazing when it works. It's actually a little bit more elegant than the 3M product, in my opinion. But there's sometimes some more things that can go wrong with it. It's a trade-off. Either way, when the machine works, it's absolutely excellent. But there are fiddly things with it. It's a machine. Certain things go wrong. Sometimes it's not talking to the ILS, so things aren't getting checked in. Well, what happens when that happens? Sometimes when you put a book in it, it doesn't take it. It might take it and then spit it right back out. Why is it doing that? How can I fix that? So I learned basic troubleshooting things that I can try and the staff can call on me to do when something's going wrong. And, you know, maybe 75 to 85% of the time, I could fix the problem. And at least IT folks and the IT techs knew that when I was calling or when I was sending in a trouble ticket on this machine, they knew that I'd already tried this stuff. They knew that the machine was actually broken in some way, shape, or form, and it wasn't just broken in a way that required turning it off and back on again. Oh, and by the way, that's kind of a theme, because both machines, I mean, one I think cost maybe $250,000, the other one maybe cost $500,000. I mean, they're not cheap. They're not inexpensive. They are the very opposite of that. And yet they're just like a computer in so many ways. Is it not working? Okay, well, try this. No, that didn't work. We'll try that. No, it's still not working. Well, have you tried turning it off and back on again? That fixes so many things. So, little tip there if you haven't watched The IT Crowd yet, try turning it off, count to 10, then turn it back on again. You'll find that things tend to work after that. So I tell you this so you can take it and apply it to your own job. You might not be a circulation librarian. I'd be surprised if you are. You might be a reference librarian. You might be a children's services librarian. You might be a teen librarian. You might work in IT. I don't know. I thank you for listening to the show either way. But chances are you're going to get something in your department sooner or later that you have to use, and it's new, or at least new-ish. And you're always going to have one or two people that complain about the new thing. Oh, now I got to learn how to use this. Well, yes, you do have to learn how to use that, because not only is it part of your job, but hey, I know this is a concept, but it might actually make your job easier. Before we got that new FKI self-check-in, our check-in in the back of that library was abysmal. It was always overflowing. It was always packed. We had to check everything in by hand. And I tell you, even when the machine goes down, even on days when we kind of just have to go back there and baby it along, it is still better than the best day of doing it all by hand as it came down this sort of conveyor-fed ramp. And the ramp didn't work that well either. Stuff would fall off. It'd get clogged up. It's better. It may not be perfect, but it's better. And if you want to sort of increase your value to your workplace and to your coworkers, learn everything you can about your toys. You might not like the toy. You might not like the tool. You might not think that it's all that important. But if you know how to use it better than anyone else, that's going to serve you in the future. Today, I do demonstrations and training sessions on how to use our ILS. And I keep up with the ILS because the ILS changes. Your ILS is changing, I'm sure. If it's not, well, you might want to look around for a better ILS. But your ILS is changing. There are updates. There are new features. There are new sets of features. There are things that have been taken away and things that have been added. But you know what? I bet you they're going to give you some documents and manuals to tell you what's new, how to use it, why it's important, why they think you'll think it's important. And even if you totally disagree with them, you should check it out. At least you will get some idea of where the company's coming from and decide whether or not it's useful for you. Try things. I cannot emphasize this enough. Poke the box. William Gibson once said, "The street finds its own uses for things," and that is the case in the library. You might come up with some newfangled idea to use something that no one has ever thought of. You might discover or, you know, just create a perfectly obvious path that was not perfectly obvious to anyone else. And by all means, share your knowledge, share your ideas, share your insight. I have never agreed with this whole knowledge is power and you share neither. That's, if you're in a library and that's what you do, you are performing your job wrong and you are a very poor librarian. Share your knowledge, especially with new people and especially with those that you think might need it. There might be someone in the department that uses this thing more than you do, but they don't know as much about it as you do. That was the case with the self-checkout machines and the self-check-in machines. Every now and then, reference librarians had to deal with those things. And that wasn't their job, per se, but when you're walking by and a patron, you know, taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, can I get a little help here? I don't know what's going on." They do the best they can. And then they might come to you and say, "Hey, why did this break? Why didn't this work? What can I do to fix it in the future?" So like Charlie Bucket's dad, I don't think your job is going to be made redundant by technology, not anytime soon. There are already robotic librarians. I believe in Sweden they've got a massive warehouse that has a robotic thing in it that goes back and forth ferrying the books as requested. But you know, someone has to operate that machine. The machine is only as good as its operator, and it's only as good as its knowledge. And its knowledge is very limited. The knowledge comes from the person using it. So, in the end, learn everything you can. Because the more you know, the farther you go. And I know that sounds cliche, but you'll find that certain cliches have a real basis in fact. So hey, I thank you for tuning into this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I hope you picked up some good tips and tricks for getting ahead in your job, if not making your job easier, by sometimes simply reading the instructions. Find out all you know, all you can know about your tools, because after all, in the end, the worst thing that happens is that you find out the tool is lousy and you don't want to use it. The music you're listening to right now is Ground Loop by Deltason. The opening title track is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita, and you can find links to these tracks in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. The music itself comes from the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org, a great place to pick up some tunes for any project you might have going along. It's mostly Creative Commons, some public domain. They've got it broken down by genre and type. And you never know what you're going to hear when you hit play. Gives a little adventure. Find something you like. Find something for that project. Or, hey, just something to listen to that's a little different than the standard crap you hear on the radio. My name is Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian. If you want to reach me, you can drop a note in the comments at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Or you can email me directly at cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter, at Bibrarian, that's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N, it's like librarian, but with a B. And you can always reach me there. I check both often, I check them frequently. I've got one of those nifty phones where it gets updates as they happen. So thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you again in a couple weeks. This show pretty much rolls out every other Monday. And you can subscribe not only on the site, but also on iTunes. Just have a look around for Cyberpunk Librarian. I think I'm the only one out there with such a silly name. But hey, always remember in the end, you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care now. See you next time.